This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Republicans are tweaking sweeping spending cuts approved in that massive budget bill.
The measure would claw back billions in funding Congress has already approved for foreign aid and public broadcasting. It narrowly passed the House last month, and to get it through the Senate, where it's not subject to a filibuster, GOP leaders have agreed to take out a $400 million proposed reduction for global AIDS relief. The bill would still include more than $1 billion in cuts to public radio and TV, and the revised version would have to go back to the House. The bill has to land on the president's desk by Friday, or the law says all the money must be spent.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. In Los Angeles, police are investigating a double homicide. The victims include a music producer on the series American Idol and her husband. LAPD was responding to a welfare check and found them in separate locations inside their Encino home. Stocks ending mixed today over a mixed bag of economic data. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Proposed legislation to withhold the salaries of suspended judges was introduced in the Wisconsin State Legislature Thursday. The bill comes following the suspension of Milwaukee Judge Hannah Dugan, who was criminally charged after being accused of helping an undocumented immigrant avoid arrest by immigration authorities in her courtroom. The legislation was co-authored by State Representative Shay Sortwell and State Senator Corey Tomczyk, who said Judge Dugan should not be continuing to collect her pay while facing federal charges. Months after the completion of the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Judge Chris Taylor has announced record fundraising for next year's election. This week, Judge Taylor's campaign announced it has raised nearly $584,000 with nearly 4,800 contributions from all 72 Wisconsin counties during the first fundraising period of the campaign. That mark is significantly higher than the roughly $460,000 raised by Justice-elect Susan Crawford's campaign through this point last year. A recent United Way study found 1 in 3 Wisconsin families are struggling to afford basic expenses. According to the study, about 24% of Wisconsin households are identified as ALICE families by the organization, meaning asset limited, income constrained, and employed. The designation covers families with enough income to remain above the federal poverty line, but are unable to afford basic needs like housing, childcare, and transportation. Wisconsin residents will now have one less thing to worry about as they're going through airport security. Under new regulations from the Transportation Security Administration, no Wisconsin airports will require passengers to remove their shoes when they're moving through the security line. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers add more players. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers have wrapped up their picks in the Major League Baseball draft. Milwaukee adding 22 new players to the organization, 8 position players, and 14 pitchers. The All-Star game is tonight in Atlanta. The Brewers' Freddy Peralta there along with closer Trevor McGill.
I'm pretty fired up, that's for damn sure. Just happy to be around this clubhouse, you know, and great group of guys to enjoy this with, that's for damn sure.
Ask rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski what was his favorite All-Star game to watch growing up. The Miz says it was the one he saw in person back in 2012 in his hometown at the age of 10.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the one in Kansas City. What, that would have been 12? 12, there you go. I remember going to that and seeing that, and I thought it was the coolest thing that all the big stars were in one place. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting.
That's Brewers rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight storm chance, warm and muggy, lows upper 60s to 70. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and muggy, a high in the mid 80s. Clearing out and cooler Thursday. Right now we're at 86.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are on the road and live from Oshkosh, the EAA Museum. Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. News from the Center, WRCE.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
See our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Is it hot enough out there for you? It is a toasty day of news, some pretty incredible things happening. I've got a great guest with me for the first hour. We're going to be reviewing the Supreme Court term as well as some very breaking developments from Maine Justice. If you aren't familiar with that term, it means the Department of Justice main office in Washington, D.C. His name is Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network. At the top of the 5 o'clock hour, I will be joined by Tope Ferlaren. He is the executive director of the Institute for Policy Studies that is having a major conference this Thursday in Washington, D.C. Representative Jamie Raskin will be there, a bunch of other progressive thinkers, and they will be there to celebrate what is called good trouble. There are rallies across the United States that will be occurring this Thursday. Good trouble, why is it called that? Well, in honor of John Lewis, one of the fathers of the civil rights movement, an advocate for voting rights. Absolutely incredible. That will be at the 5 o'clock hour. Really excited to have that discussion. At 5:30, I will be taking some listener criticism and sharing it with you. I got quite the email yesterday afternoon about talking about the border, talking about ICE, talking about racial profiling. And, you know, can we do two things as a country, which is both ensure the safety and wellness of our nation, as well as secure the border and live up to our country's highest principles, as well as, you know, follow the Constitution, those sorts of things. Got some really pointed feedback. I'm going to read it to you word for word, and I will respond because I want you all to know that those things matter to me, and all feedback is welcome, though not always equally valid, if you will. And I also had to start with an additional fact correction, and that is this. Yesterday, when I was talking about the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Florida, who entered into a non-prosecution agreement with Jeff Epstein and all named or unnamed co-conspirators or potential co-conspirators, I had incorrectly attributed former U.S. Attorney Acosta's appointment to Donald Trump. He was not appointed by Donald Trump. He was appointed by George W. Bush. But Donald Trump elevated Mr. Acosta to be the Secretary of the Department of Labor. And he did this notwithstanding caboodles of criticism relating to Mr. Acosta's handling of Epstein's prosecution and, frankly, his agreement to keep all of it one big fat secret. These things are important, obviously, given some of the breaking news, but I wanted to start with that fact correction because we want to get it right. And a hat tip to Jacob that helps me come to you every day for trying to fact check me while I was talking about it yesterday. I was a little fired up. So with all of that as prequel, really happy to introduce Jim Santel. Welcome back to the show, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin. You've never been accused of entering into some pedophile concealing non-prosecution agreement. I you don't have to answer that, Jim. I don't mean to offend you in the least, but welcome back. It's nice to have you.
I am always honored to be here, and no, I can answer no to that specific question. But you know what? As we've talked before, Maggie, being in public service means in part that when you are in these positions of responsibility, you're responsible to the public, and they can criticize, right? They can criticize you and me. That's what the First Amendment's all about. It is good to have that expression here on the radio and beyond that throughout the United States of America. And it's also important, as you always do, my friend and colleague, focus on the facts, right?
Yes. And well, that I think there will be a point of departure with me and the criticizer that I got the email back, that I got the email feedback from, that is factual. And I'll get to that again. That'll be at 5:30. Jim, you know, what I see being talked about all over the national media today is the memo from the head of ICE telling the entirety of ICE that undocumented immigrants are not entitled to bond hearings. We're going to talk about why that's anathema in a any democracy, small
due process,
D.
Yes. Right? Fundamental notion.
We'll get to that. But I wanted to start with something of a little bit smaller scope, because it speaks, I think, to the incredibleness, and I don't mean that in a positive way, the lack of any credible defense for some of Donald Trump's policies. Not only are they illegal, some would say, immoral, others would say, antithetical to our most closely held principles as Americans, but they are so not credible that people have worked their lives to achieve
careers.
What are very sort of prestigious positions within the Department of Justice are leaving en masse. Jim, tell us more. What's going on at Maine Justice?
Absolutely. So there's this branch that I suspect you and I both know this. And I'm actually hoping, Maggie, that none of your listeners before has ever heard about the Federal Programs Branch. It's inside the Civil Division of the United States Department of Justice at Maine Justice. It's a relatively small unit. It's about 110 attorneys. That may sound large to many people. It actually is not, given their assignment. These are the folks who, for decades and decades, have been responsible for defending the government on its legitimate policies and practices. Things like, for example, DACA. If the president comes up with a particular policy and it is challenged, as these things often are, you go into court. Who are those lawyers? Those are the Federal Programs Branch attorneys. So, for example, environmental initiatives. Various presidents have those as well. You go in, and yes, you use the underlying facts, but you're the Federal Programs Branch defending the government. And why is that especially significant? These are the folks who have the most direct connection in the litigation, in the courts of our land, to representing what these programs are all about, to federal judges explaining why they should be in place or not. And so in this administration now, the Federal Programs Branch, since January 20th, and actually a little bit before that, has experienced these huge losses. It's about 110 people altogether, somewhere around 69, 70 of them have decided to take up and leave. Why? Because they, for two reasons. One is they can no longer defend ethically from their core, their heart, their minds, the policies and practices of this administration. They're being asked to go into court to defend. And second, because of all of these cases being brought, they're frankly just plain overworked to the bone. And again, why is this significant? What kinds of things? Well, it is the deportation of policies of this president. It's the policies related to shutting down agencies, to firing people, to dramatically changing the way that government works. They're also going into court, as you and I and your listeners know well. They go into court, and they're having their heads handed to them, right, by judges who are uniformly saying, no, no, Congress created the Department of Education Council. Your client, the president, does not have the authority to bring it down. And so between the substance, which is causing them great concern, as legitimate lawyers who represent what is right and good, even if sometimes that means admitting errors have been made, and the tremendous amount of work now to defend defenseless positions and defenseless policies, you've got a huge departure from this federal programs branch.
Folks, that's Jim Santel. He is a former U.S. attorney. You know him best as a Saturday morning talk show host, Amicus, a law review. What Jim has been describing is that there are over 100 lawyers who work in the Department of Justice's main office in Washington, D.C., and they are charged with going into court when various Trump administration policies are challenged and explaining to judges why these are good programs, why they are legal, why they are constitutional. And what Jim has just shared with us is that upwards, I'm doing math on the radio, 75 to 80% of them have resigned basically since Trump won re-election, and the bulk of those coming in the last few weeks. I have a question for all you non-lawyers out there. Jim and I frequently have these discussions about the lawyers' obligations, about lawyers' ethics. And I have a question for each and every one of you. Do you care at all? Do you think your neighbors care if reams of lawyers are walking off jobs that they have spent their entire professional careers trying to, one, even get their foot in the door and then develop and maintain a level of practice and the reputation? Do you think it matters to regular everyday Americans that so many lawyers are simply saying, I cannot go into court and defend these policies? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Do you care that hundreds of lawyers are quitting Donald Trump's Department of Justice? Do you think regular people care? Or is this just the fodder for what Jim and I might talk about when we're having a cup of coffee together or a cocktail? Mike from Cedarburg, say hello to Jim. What's your question or comment this afternoon?
Hey, Mike.
Mike, are you there? Hi, Mike from Cedarburg. Are you there? Are you there, Mike? It's me, Margaret. We'll try to get Mike back. But I really, there is this growing sense and concern that I have. And for example, I haven't gone into detail about Donald Trump's nomination of Emile Beauvais. But he is at every level completely unqualified to serve as an Article III judge. In fact, a letter was issued this morning, covered by CNN, where nearly 100 retired federal and state court judges make that argument very simply, that Emile Beauvais should have nothing ever to do with being on the federal judiciary. And we hear pundits talk about this frequently. And I'm very concerned that all of this discussion of the norms and the institutions and what the Department of Justice does is just kind of background noise for people. And so I'm curious, folks, do you think all of this is background noise? 855-752-4842. Perhaps the simplest lens that I can put on it, and then we got to take care of a little bit of business. We'll go to the phones. We'll go to the text lines. Is this lawyers need to remain lawyers to earn money. And though lawyer disciplinary reviews may take a long time, they are pernicious, they are extensive, and I think what you're seeing when you look across the Department of Justice and lawyers that work in all sorts of capacities within the federal government is when someone is unwilling to bet their family's livelihood on the argument or the political debate, they are unwilling to put their name and their family's livelihood behind it, That should tell people something.
A strong message.
And maybe we need to be talking about it in those terms. 855-752-4842. Do you think anybody cares that people are fleeing the Department of Justice? We discuss more on the other side with Jim Santella and you here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks, to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
No more mold, no more damage, no more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass-treated door. BCI Bath and Shower, interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Mommy, how come I can't sit in the front seat?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome. If you are just joining us, this is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news and great conversation. One of the bits of news, and we try to do this, I hope with some fidelity on this program, is talk about some of the things that you might not see getting plastered all across, you know, the big networks on TV or even other radio programs or even your local newspaper of choice, as well as covering a goodly bit of local news. And that is that the lawyers that are charged in Washington, D.C., that work in the Department of Justice with effectively defending the Trump administration's policies have been resigning in droves. This is happening all across federal government. It's especially happening in roles that lawyers must hold within the federal government. But the number of resignations out of this particular department is edging towards like 80%. I worked in government for a really long time under budgets that I reduced every year for my department. And if we would have a vacancy and turnover rate that went to over 20%, we'd be getting called in because they're looking at us, meaning the county executive when I was at the county would be asking me, what the hell's wrong
What's
with
going
you?
On there?
Why is no one wants to work for you anymore? The way that I'm explaining this, and we're going to go to the phones and the text lines next, is that when a person is unwilling to stake their family's well-being, they're unwilling to stand behind a policy or stand in court because they may lose their license or face some kind of discipline because they're going to have to get right to or potentially cross the lines, the rules that govern lawyers. That's an indicator. It is a canary in the coal mine. Maybe it's a full-out, five alarm sort of fire. My question is, do regular people care about it? 855, do you care about it? Do your neighbors care about it? 855-752-4842. When people will no longer stand up and put their family, when someone won't put their family's well-being on the line to defend a policy, should people, regular folks, be caring about that? Or is it just lawyer talk.
It's not that. And plainly, they've taken an oath not only to the particular position, but also the Constitution, right? And you and I both know this well. You've got an oath of office when you become a lawyer, and it says you will not deceive, you will not lie, you will not do all those things. I'd also mention to those folks out there who might be thinking, yeah, well, this is just about lawyers leaving their jobs. These are people who have a huge amount of experience. These are the folks who, across administrations for decades, have been defending, whether it's a Republican administration, Democratic administration, the policies and practices. They know what they're doing. And so you get this, again, the canary in the coal mine, and you also get a huge diminution in the expertise inside the Department of Justice when that day comes when you do need good lawyers who are representing you well, right?
Yes.
And that's the other catastrophic part of this. We saw one of them, obviously, stood up to Judge Zinnes and didn't stand up to her. Actually responded accurately when he was asking about
Abrego
Garcia,
yeah.
right? And said, you know what, I am asking my client the same question. What happens to that person? He didn't have to resign because he was placed on administrative leave and then fired. It is all of the same thing. He is one of those people, Maggie, you talked about, who refused to stand up and tell the judge something that was not true, recognizing once again that he's got this oath. He's, yes, got a family to provide for, and he's got a larger issue. And he would rather not be in that position appropriately than to go ahead with it and lie to the judge, lie to the court.
There's this other attorney obligation. It's called candor to the court, and candor requires presenting fulsome facts accurately, and that just ain't happening. Let's go to the text lines, and we're going to go to the phones. Do you think regular people care about the mass exodus of what I would call thousands of years of experience out of federal government? Does anybody care that the people who know how to do this stuff best are exiting, and that specifically it's large, huge proportions of people that serve as lawyers in basically every department of the federal government? From the WMDX text line, I care greatly, but I don't think most people are aware, or if they are, they don't care. Laws and the judiciary are the glue that hold our democracy together. Cam from Appleton says, I think most of this is background noise to folks, but not in the way that you and Jim may think. Lawyers are necessary, and it is bad that they are dropping like flies, but I think in a large generalization, lawyers allowed a lot of the nonsense in with arguments that assumed that the Trump administration would play by the rules. Ouch. I'm going to put a pin in that, and I want to come back to that. Let's get a few more texts in. Kathleen from Libertyville, she says, I care, all caps. I am sick of this, and quoted, all the people that he has hired are incompetent. I've tried to voice my opinions. I think that the people leaving the DOJ, this needs to be called out again and again. If nobody knows about it, then no one knows. We have to keep talking about these things. Many people have been quitting all the time, and I've been hearing about that. We need to keep talking about it. Mike from Green Bay says this on WGBW, as a blue-collar truck-driving non-lawyer, I do think this is an alarming situation. However, this iteration of the Trump presidency has been nothing but alarming situations. It feels like the Twilight Zone, where the people are completely powerless in the face of such chaos. I believe they are trying to break our spirit and the economy. I am afraid. Mary from Mount Horem, I am very concerned of every corrupt twist and turn of this regime. Unfortunately, due to the media infrastructure on the right, people like my husband don't seem to see the problem. We can live in our own bubbles, but not here. I take all comers and all phone calls, all texters, conservatives, ladies, veterans, first-time callers. You go to the top of the line, first on the list, 855-752-4842. Anybody else a little freaked out that lawyers who are bound by codes of ethics are dropping out of the Trump administration in droves? Who's less left but the sycophants? 855-752-4842. More here on the Civic Media Radio Network in just a moment.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have risen 7 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.99 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 6.7 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 29.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.66 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.39 a gallon, a difference of 73 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has risen 2 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.11 a gallon. The national average is down a half cent per gallon from a month ago and stands 37.9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 3.2 cents in the last week and stands at $3.68 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said, quote, with oil prices posting a modest uptick last week, the national average price of gasoline also inched slightly higher, with just over half of U.S. states seeing increases, while nearly two dozen saw declines. He added, as we approach the midpoint of the summer driving season, gasoline inventories remain just below average, while diesel inventories are considerably tighter, keeping upward pressure on diesel prices. While renewed tariff discussions could weigh on oil markets due to concerns about economic growth, absent any major developments, we expect the national average to remain range-bound in the low $3 per gallon area, where it has spent much of the summer. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do I recommend Superman? Sort of. As a video, it rocks. But as a movie, I guess it's still just okay. First, the good. James Gunn keeps the action and story moving along nicely. The film relies on what we already know about Superman, his adoptive parents in Kansas, and Lex Luthor, who in this installment resembles a certain billionaire. The filmmakers choose to go right to the bells and whistles, i.e. action, music, and some stunning effects. They even introduce a character that looks like it stumbled into the wrong movie from Jurassic World. There were a few other tangential issues I had, including a couple Daily Planet reporters who didn't even need to be in the film. And with a total of about 5 lines, actor Wendell Pierce as Perry White had absolutely nothing to do in the film. But Pierce is a great actor and deserves the residual checks coming his way. The main players, David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan, are great as Superman and Lois. Having said that, there is definitely enough cinematic energy in this movie to make the theater-going experience more fun than watching it at home. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight with a slight storm chance, warm and muggy, lows upper 60s to 70. Mostly cloudy for tomorrow with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Warm and muggy, a high in the mid 80s. Clearing out and cooler Thursday. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic.
On the table.
Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this is Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media Radio Station. and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings, 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mike Schmidt. Then local rock duo, 7,000 Apart, joins me to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. At a very high level, with my special guest for this first hour, and each and every one of you, my guest being Jim Santel, host of Amicus from 9 a.m. to 11 every Saturday morning across the Civic Media Radio Network. He's a former U.S. attorney. Jim and I and every single one of you, what we're talking about is the fact that lawyers, I would probably put them, if we could actually count up all of the lawyer jobs across the federal government, I bet you would see a higher proportion of resignations.
Yes.
And people leaving, taking retirements, because people are so freaked out by what they are being asked to do. And they are, in many ways, putting their careers and their reputations and their ability to continue to earn a living on the line when they when they're forced to defend Donald Trump and some of the indefensible, illegal, and constitutional policies that he's adopted.
Now, here's a quote from one of those folks who left.
Yeah.
It says this: many of these people, making reference to the federal programs branch, came to work here in this branch to defend aspects of our constitutional system, exactly what you and I are talking about. Goes on to say, how could they participate in the project of tearing it down? That's the other codification of this. Going into court every day, given a file and being told either to represent things that are not true or just as problematic, defend under constitutional principles, statutory principles, a policy, a practice that they know based upon their training and their years of expertise is indefensible. That is not a sustainable position for any lawyer to be in. Again, you lose this huge expertise. I would also add as a footnote, these are not political people. They have been there for 20, 30, 40 years, maybe not
right.
40, but 30 years maybe.
I bet.
You've got some folks who are long tenured and they have represented the government with a capital G under the Trump administration, Trump won, under the Biden administration, under frankly, maybe Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan,
right.
All of these folks. And they do it because there's a basis to defend these programs. What we're seeing now for the first time in at least contemporary history, no longer a basis to do that. Lawyers fleeing under what's being called a punishing workload, which is the other piece of this.
Yes. Joe from Madison, say hello to Jim. What are your thoughts?
Hey, Joe.
It's a great question. I think that for you guys, it's not necessarily the Department of Justice. It's more the fact that 75 or 80% of the staff is skedaddling for the exits. Anybody who's had any familiarity with a business or some institution can say, look at that and say, well, that's a big red flag. There's something stinky going on there. If everybody's heading to the exits, and whether it be a shoe store where all the salespeople have fled, or insurance company that it's empty desk land. I mean, it is a big sign. Maybe I wouldn't want to invest in this business. Maybe I don't want to do business here because everybody's fleeing. So I don't know that it's necessarily the DOJ, but it's more the fact that the big skedaddle is going on.
Yes.
I would argue, too, that it's happening. People may not know what FEMA is all about or what NOAA is all about. But boy, last week came some very poignant, awful understanding of what it means when people are pulled away from important jobs such as you would have in FEMA, such as you would have in National Weather Service. There was one person, as I understand, in that area in Texas who was very good at getting the information out that we are in a heightened evacuation time. Everybody needs to flee. That guy had been let go.
Right. Joe, did you see those pictures? Those pictures of those employees at the State Department over there on C Street on Friday with their boxes. They were being applauded by their years-long colleagues as they walked out. And again, are we compromised by that? You bet we are, both in Washington, D.C. and around the world. That's exactly the kind of thing that this departure causes, short-term and long-term both.
Thanks so much, Joe. Jeannie from Eau Claire, say hi to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Jeannie.
Hi, guys. Great show as usual. You know, it kind of reminds me of like a medical malpractice, you know, like if a hospital wants a doctor to do a surgery or something that could harm the patient and they say, no, I'm not going to do it. That's what this reminds me of the people who are there to protect the rule of law, to help, you know, all of the important things in our lives and all of the different departments. And in the rule of law, and it's just, to me, it's astounding. It's scary as all get out. And I think people need to understand this and have it broken down just as you are doing. This is outstanding for people to understand, even in all of the different departments. You know, people get upset with different departments, but they have their lawyers to help them, you know what I mean, to understand and follow those laws.
Yes.
We'd be up the creek without a paddle without all of the lawyers that are there. So thank you guys so much, because red flags are flying all over the place.
Thanks so much, Jeannie. Sorry, it sounded like you dropped out there. I also wanted to say this. The levels of exodus here cannot be explained by individuals' personal political affiliations. This is not, though certainly some of them, I'm sure, are Democrats and are like, I'm not standing for this, and they leave. But the levels that you're seeing cannot, you cannot explain away this mass exodus simply by saying those people don't like Donald Trump. This is so far beyond that. I will suggest to you, and let me turn this into a question to Jim, and then we're going to go back to the phones. Do you, folks, here's the question of the hour. Do you think regular folks care about the mass exodus, especially from the Department of Justice, especially from ethical watchdogs? They cleared out. They fired the DOJ ethics watchdog.
Right, exactly. The head of the Office of Ethics also shown the door today.
Yes. Right? I believe a military vet. Do you care? Do non-lawyers care? Because this to me is an indicator that you cannot explain this by partisan affiliation. And here was the question. I'm going to turn it into a question to you, Jim. And then I want to go back to the phones, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I have worked for people that I vehemently disagreed with. I have lawyered for clients I didn't particularly like. In my career, I was once asked to do something that I was like, no, I can't do that. And I said, no, I can't do that. And I further said to the partners, which was a very vulnerable position because I wasn't a partner at the law firm. I was just a wee associate. And I said, and I don't think we should do this. And I don't want to be involved with this case if we're going to go ahead and do XYZ thing. And it created quite a little kerfuffle. But ultimately, it changed what was happening there. My question to you, Jim, is, these lawyers that are exiting en masse, these scientists from NOAA and FEMA and
the experts in our government,
these people have worked for people that they don't like, whose politics they disagree with on both the right and the left, many of whom for decades. It's not about that. This is so much bigger than that. Or am I just completely imagining
this? You are absolutely right, and we've talked about this before, Maggie. When you and I hire people inside those offices, which we formerly encumbered, we would never, ever, ever ask, oh, no, by the way, what's your political persuasion, right? It's not only irrelevant, it's wrong as an employment matter, but it's completely irrelevant because we're not hiring partisan people. We're hiring good lawyers who are going to advocate for reasonable positions based upon the facts, and we're looking for them to do just that. All of these these attorneys, Federal Programs Branch, U.S. Attorney's Offices, the one that I came from a number of years ago. I have no doubt. I frankly don't even know what a lot of political affiliations are. Republicans, Democrats in between, they're all there. But they're there because they've got the expertise to do that. And every single one of these people in the Federal Programs Branch who has been tenured for a long period of time, they have worked for Republican administrations
and
they've defended those and Democrats. And they're able to do it with not just within the bounds of ethics, with vigor, which is also one of the admonitions to all attorneys. You can represent your client vigorously and even sometimes aggressively. But what you can't do, what you cannot do is cross the line that you've identified, which is lie about it, misrepresent it, and also advocate something in the legal arena that you know is wrong, unless you're advocating truly for a change in a law that has to be changed because of basic equities. That's not what we're talking about here. These are people who have worked under all administrations of recent times and have done their jobs and have finally come to the point where they cannot justify going into court and saying anything to a judge straight eye on and saying, Your Honor, this is the position. Among other things, these are also the people, by the way, who have been going into courts to defend the cuts to universities and colleges. Again, they're saying, no, those things were done by Congress, can't do this. And they're being asked to say just the opposite.
Linda from Waukesha, say hi to Jim. What do you got for us this afternoon? Linda.
Hi, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. Two things. I find it very hard to follow sometimes what they're talking about with regards to the lawyers and all the stuff that's going on and what they can and can't do. But being a 50-year employee of my current job, we have come against different parties in power who have tried to close us down in our job. And I truly believe that if you don't stay and fight, even when you don't like it, you are not going to have the turnaround you're really hoping for if you don't stay and fight for it. And with that being said, one more thing. Can you tell me, did they pass the big bill so women who are voting have to have a passport if their name is different? Did that pass?
Yeah, that has not passed, Linda. Thank you so much for your question. Let's try to clarify some of the rules that govern the practice of law. Lawyers cannot lie in any legal filing. They cannot lie when they speak to a judge or a jury. If a lawyer knowingly lies, you could arguably lose your license. That's basically the rule about which we're talking
can't
about.
Can't even suborn perjury, you and I both.
Can't allow a witness on the stand
who you know is going to say something to this jury or to this judge which is false. Can't do that, and you get in huge trouble if you do.
Mike from Oregon, say hello to Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Maggie and Jim. Great program. I really appreciate this. I'm a longtime retired. I'm a longtime civil service employee that's retired now, and I appreciate the two things you're hitting on is that of legalistic things and legal expertise within an administrative fashion like government. One of the topics that I'd like to mention is one of the topics that state government does and county government, and it's both legal and it's also administrative, and that's our area of the child support system. And one of my fears is that when we have legal expertise leaving county and state government, let alone federal government, as well as employees leaving, women are going to be really paying the price for this. Because that if fathers are challenging the legal orders, they go to court, and therefore women are going to wind up losing because it's a legalistic type of thing.
Yeah. Competent lawyers at all levels of government are absolutely essential to the proper functioning of government. It affects women, it affects men, it affects kids, it affects all of us. We continue this discussion on the other side. Does it matter to you that lawyers are leaving the Trump administration in droves? I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Down. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat? Just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Milwaukee Brewers play here all season long. Catch the game on us, WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Everybody, this is the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we're all about real news, some of it you may not have heard of, and great conversation, bringing it to you every day. Today, I've got my special guest, Jim Santel, with me. We've been talking about the mass exodus, especially of lawyers from the Trump administration. Odds are thousands of years of expertise. And the reason that Jim and I mention this is not just because we're both lawyers, but because lawyers are governed by a very particular set of rules, and a lawyer can lose their livelihood if they violate them. So I think the resignations of lawyers from all sorts of different function areas, but especially from the DOJ, is especially telling. And one of our last callers said, hey, if you want to change systems and you're within them, you got to stay and fight. And I appreciate mm-hmm. that perspective. Mm-hmm. And I, if you've ever found me on LinkedIn, one of my things is system reformer. And I really, really believe in that. And I believe in reforming and constantly improving government and being painfully honest about what's working and what's not.
And being a part of the solution to the problem.
Correct.
Right?
And if something is broken, let's address that. I do have to say that as a lawyer, your lawyer ethics and the rules governing lawyers will actually require you to resign.
Yes, yes.
Because you cannot, if someone is, it's like a military personnel being given an illegal order. There is a higher level of ethics, and it requires you to resign those jobs. I have come close less than a handful of times in my nearly 30-year career, but that's, and it's an increasing level of alarm. If you've been listening to this show for a while, I had a former ambassador and a career diplomat on the show about a month ago. And she said the same thing about people that work in the Department of State and other departments. I will just suggest this to everybody. I think a lot of professions, scientists, diplomats, lawyers, have this same process where you say to your boss, I disagree, and that's uncomfortable. And if it's something that you believe is illegal or immoral, whatever it is, maybe you orally explain it to him. Then you might send the email. Then maybe it's the formal letter with your signature. And then maybe it's like, hey, if this is going to happen, I have to resign. The difference is for lawyers, the resignation part is required.
Yes. Mandated. And so I think back, Maggie, to this event not so long ago. The interim U.S. attorney, Southern District of New York, she was embraced by this president. And she is approached by whom? Emile Beauvais, about whom you spoke earlier in this very program. And she tells him that she is obliged to dismiss the prosecution of Eric Adams, the president and maybe continuing mayor of the city of New York. And she says, you know, I've been a part of this. And the reality is that this is that bridge too far. I know this case. You're asking me to do something that is contrary to the facts, which again, the grand jury also found compelling presentation. I can make this at trial. You're asking me to do this contrary to what the law is on dismissals when there are merits or lack of merits. Everything about this is asking me to do something that's contrary to my oath of office, contrary to the commitment I made to the people of the Southern District of New York and the Department of Justice. And what does she do? She resigns.
She resigns.
She walks away rather than to be there and embrace this and make it her own.
And I'll just say this. Does everybody remember what was the sort of pen name the guy used that was in the first Trump administration? And he wrote the op-ed, I think, yes, in the New York Times. And he said, hey, some of us are sticking around and we know this is really screwed
up. Inside folks.
We're
going
to try to keep the bumpers on the bumper bowling here. So it's people asked the question then, and I'll ask it now. Was that the right call? And there's a deep question here that the people of good faith, when do you hit the point where it's like, I can no longer be part of this, that the fight, I'm over, I can't fight this as an individual within these departments. I have to leave. And I hate to even contemplate that because it is so almost not, I don't know, nihilism isn't the right word, but it is, that's approaching an abyss, right? But the question has to be like, when are you complicit when you stick around?
Right, exactly. And it may well be sometimes it's the frog boiling experience where, bit by bit, you get a suggestion early on, it's boiling a bit, you've got a meeting, then you've got a note, and that sort of thing. And at some point, then you say, wait a minute, we are boiling the frog and we are done with this. And at that point, I think most lawyers will be able to go home one night, look themselves in the mirror, and say, we've gone beyond that point. I can no longer stay to fight that fight for reform. I've got to leave for my own ethics, for the good, frankly, of the country, of the state, of the county.
Because it sends a message.
Exactly.
Paul from Madison on WMDX says, lawyers are leaving is another measure of the Trump corruption. It is sad for the lives and professional careers of those dedicated individuals. But is there a silver lining? Does his lack of quality legal help slow down the madness? Maybe, maybe not. There seem to be plenty of lawyers who are willing to do his bidding. John from Oshkosh on WISS. The people that need to care don't know or understand the seriousness of it, or they think it's the deep state leaving. Well, that's why I made the point. You don't have resignations at this level and attribute it to individual political preferences. It's just not possible. There's too many of them. Steve from Milwaukee on WAUK says DOJ is corrupt. It seems its job is now to defend Trump, the individual, as opposed to any sort of justice. By the way, the Onion headline yesterday was something like, the Trump administration calls Lady Justice just another bit of woke propaganda and drops the word justice from the Department of Justice. I hate it when the Onion gets it just right. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're going to talk about good trouble and bold ideas for a new progressive majority with Tope Fullerin. He is the executive director of the Institute for Policy Studies. They've got a big conference coming up this Thursday in celebration of John Lewis. Don't miss that conversation. Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Massachusetts, the investigation continuing into the deadly blaze at an assisted living facility in Fall River, south of Boston, killing 9 and injuring 30 others. ABC's Marcus Moore is on scene.
Some residents criticizing the staff's initial response to the incident.
They went knock on one door. They just ran out in the parking lot. A resident had to call 911.
Firefighters racing to Gabriel House in Fall River right after 9:30 p.m. on Sunday. Residents trapped inside the blaze.
Fire officials say they don't think the fire is suspicious. Federal prosecutors today say a grand jury returned an indictment against Vance Belter in the murders of former Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark Hortman inside their home. Charges also include stalking and firearms possession. Belter is also facing state charges. The Consumer Price Index showing inflation ticked up last month. Analysts say it's likely tied to President Trump's tariffs. This is ABC News.
We bring the